Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. All month long, we have been looking at what manner of love, and we've been looking all this month at love, and today's message is way of excellence, the way of excellence. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you bestow upon us day by day. We thank you that we don't take it for granted. We can't understand it. We can't fathom it. We can never comprehend it, but we lay hands on it with both hands, and we thank you for it. We embrace it. We ask you day by day, lead us into that way where we will see that love manifested through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope it's been a good month so far, learning about the love of God, or maybe just refreshing ourselves. It's good just to immerse ourselves in it, even if everything is, we've known it, it just continues. It's like, you know, when people say, well, you don't ever tell me you love me, you know, and we say, well, if I told you once, then you should know that. It's still good to hear it. It's still good to hear that folks love us. And it certainly, it's the same with this. It's good for us to meditate on and concern ourselves with the love that God has for us and see it at that higher level. See what God's estimation of love is and how He has implanted it in us and how He wants us to walk that way. So today, as I said, we're looking at the way of excellence. I know that we've gotten into some deeper things before. It's been a little bit longer, but today should be pretty simple and easy. It's just going to be hard. I have a little thing that says something, I can't remember it exactly, but it's like faith makes everything simple. Not necessarily easy, but simple. That's for sure. So anyway, we've talked about the love of God, and we laid some groundwork on God's love and our response. Last time we spent time drawing the distinction between loves, God's love and man's love. And mainly more the way we think of it too is that love in principle versus love in feeling. The substance of that love versus our response to it, our demonstration of it. And of course, I know that many of you may have thought of this passage first and wonder why I didn't start there, because I think we needed some background. I needed to lay some basis before we got to it. I do some weddings. I don't do lots and lots, but I do some weddings. And families or people a lot of times, you know, will want readings from various places in the scriptures. And one of the places sometimes they will want is Corinthians 13. I usually kind of ask them to reconsider that. I don't always. The demands of Corinthians 13 is not something you necessarily want to make it part of your wedding vows. They are so much higher, you know, that part in Isaiah where his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. When we use those words love, what they mean versus what we would be demanding of ourselves if to always demand that thing of Corinthians 13, of love. I will also tell you a little bit of history with me in Corinthians 13, and it was one of my best times. I took it out of the Amplified at that time, and I took it phrase by phrase, and I would meditate on each phrase and live that phrase until I felt I got it somewhere in my soul. Not that it was perfect, but not just read all of it. Go through each one, and, you know, like this, I realized I couldn't walk in love till I learned to drive in love. So instead of trying to cut somebody off, you know, or somebody's trying to get in and it's like, I can drive in love. I can back off and think I've been left in this lane so that when somebody wants to merge, I can give them that right of way. Kind of one of my little things out of Amplified, I think it says that love is patient and kind. And I was like, oh, Lord, I learned that I could be patient. Or I could be kind. I could be patient for a long time if I didn't have to be kind. I could be kind for a short time. But I found it extremely hard to be patient and kind at the same time. So it's, Lord, one or the other, but you don't get that privilege. And when you start to pray that, God, this is where I want to meditate on and put into my life, God will give you every opportunity. Let me tell you, don't pray, I want to live Corinthians 13, unless you're ready for every scoundrel and every, you know, thing that can demand you to walk in love be thrown into your path. But anyway, but I thought we just also will enjoy Corinthians 13. I know I've made it kind of tough up until now. And it's not an easy thing, but it's a very simple thing, to love with the love of God. But you know me, we're still going to teach. So whenever we look at any area, remember, we look at it, we ask ourselves several questions. And one of which is, you know, I do this a little bit more often with the Gospels, but who wrote it and to whom were they writing? What was their purpose? Now, this is Corinthians. So it's an epistle by Paul to the young churches, okay? So it's directly to us. This is not just something that has things in it we can learn. This is, when he says you, he means me. When he says you do this, he means me do this. You do this. Not, you know, in an abstract way. This is direct from the Lord to me. The other thing about it is the Corinthian church, you know, we have Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Romans lays out the doctrine. Corinthians points out the error, and then Galatians puts us back to being right. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Corinthians is a book of reproof. If you didn't believe that, all you got to do is read through, you know, and it can kind of make you feel good about yourself. We may have done a lot of bad stuff, but, you know, they got into some troubles and they didn't know any better. They had no experience with this. So he had to reprove them. No, don't go to, you know, church, take communion and get drunk. I would think that's kind of a given, but they didn't know any better. They had to be reproved. No, don't sleep with your father's wife. You need reproof. So there's things that they've been doing wrong. And so God in his reproof sets them where they should be. And that's when he gives them, that's why in a book of reproof is where Corinthians 13 is found. Why? If we just got saved and lived perfect communion and fellowship with God, you know, living exactly the way God wants us to all the time, he wouldn't have to remind us of these things. But that reproof is they were not doing these things. And so he gives it to us. So he lays out, and the other thing, you know, that I always, when we look at these, I always say we have to back up and understand the context. Most of us start reading Corinthians 13 with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or the love of God, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And it has a beautiful poetic sound to it. Now, last week, we covered the difference between agape and phileo, that higher love of agape that demands of us a higher to love out of principle, love the way God loves us, not based on how he feels about us, because the way he feels about us is the way he loves us. We are not the same. He says, poor Peter kept going, but Lord, you know that I have affection towards you. Lord, you know I feel love towards you. Jesus was preparing him for ministry. It's not about how you feel, baby. It's about loving in spite of people and how they act and how you may feel toward them. Doing right because it's right. Okay, you don't change attendance in church because you don't like the suit the pastor wore, or you don't like, you know, the songs that somebody picked. You love because it's right. And it talks about right and principle, doesn't it? Agape talks about principle. Phileo talks about feelings or expression. And we want to express our love, but we have to know where it comes from. The source, the cause of phileo love is agape love. All right. That said, then, knowing that, having studied that, now we can look at Corinthians 13 and we have a context for it. So what I want to do, you know me, I will back up to the verse before it. We know that chapter 12, as such, talked about the manifestations of the Spirit, spiritual things, pneumaticos. Now, concerning pneumaticos, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You see, that word gifts is in italics, and we know that means it was supplied. Corinthians 12 doesn't just talk about gifts. It talks about other things, but all the things in that chapter are spiritual things. Now, concerning spiritual things or matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay. And so it goes through and it talks about them, and it talks about how we, the whole body, and how we work together and we're part of each other, etc. So now we come, now we know that whole chapter has been about spiritual matters, and included in that are gifts and etc. Verse 31, but covet, in this in King James, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Segue to chapter 13. It's thrown in there, and it follows, and if chapter 14, we'll read after it, follow after charity, or the love of God, and desire spiritual matters, pneumaticos, but rather that you may prophesy. And then he goes back to the gifts and the spiritual matters within the church. So if you see, 12 talks about spiritual matters, and 14 talks about spiritual matters. Now, if you've got a sandwich, if both ends are talking about spiritual matters, then what's in the middle is talking about spiritual matters. It's not just a feel-good. It's not, I mean, it's fine to read at weddings. I don't want to get letters from people. But the thing of it is, what it's talking about is spiritual matters. The context, of course, can be church, but it can also be our lives. It can be our own, you know, consciousness. But it's not just a feel-good, romantic kind of love. And when I say romantic, I don't just mean between partners. I can mean like with your children. It's not about emotion. It's talking about the place that the principle, the source, the cause of love has in the church, in our lives, in the all of reality, okay? Maybe I'm not saying that too well, but maybe you get the idea. All right. So the chapter, or the verse that precedes it says, now covet earnestly. Whoa, 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 whoa. I thought the scripture told me not to covet. Doesn't Leviticus say don't covet? Well, what it says is don't covet another man's wife, another man's ass, another man's property. Don't covet something that belongs to somebody else. But it doesn't say we can't covet. Now, that's kind of maybe not as good a choice of words. And I'm not going to read too much Greek to you today, but I may read a little bit yet so that we get the feeling of it. When it talks about that word, actually is be zealous. So we can all be zealous. That's not being covetous in the sense of that sin is, but zealously strive for the better gift. Now it says, I show to you more excellent way, more excellent. And some translations, I don't, that's King James. I was trying to see if I got some, I got a whole lot of them handy, but it'll say the best, you know, I covet earnestly the best gifts. Well, best is not really a good word there because that's kind of like a ranking. If you really understand that word, it means the better gift. There's a better way than just being zealous. I zealously want to succeed, but there's a better way. And that better way is love. If you want, I'm zealous that I could have, you know, I can lay hands on the sick and there be healing. I'm zealous for healing. But there's a better way. And that better way is love. When I love people with the love of God and their sickness, of course, the manifestations, the gifts of healing will be present. Whatever the thing is, if you have certain kinds of gifting, certain kinds of zeals, obviously you can tell me I love the word and I'm zealous about learning the word. But truly, when I see if I love people, then the word that I will be the one that they need. And that's the more excellent way. I'm going to spend a little time on this because there are various ways of looking at this. Okay. And I'm reading kind of Greek at the same time I'm trying to read to you out loud, but it's like, be zealous, but the gifts are better, and you more surpassing a way I show you. Kind of, Greek is kind of like Yoda, you know, who says everything kind of backwards. I'm showing you a more surpassing way, a better way, not the best gift, the best way, a better, it's surpassing, it goes beyond, it's a way of excellence, meaning it goes beyond, it's better than just wanting the best things, it goes beyond it. Now, the other thing I'll give you a little clue on, okay, as you read, and it's okay to read it, now I show you a more excellent way, but you know, or however your Bible says it, whatever translation you read. But to understand this word more surpassing, meaning better, there is a preposition in the Greek, and I'm not going to bore you too much, but I want you to hear it so that you can kind of put that into your meditation time. And that word is kata, K-A-T-A. And it can mean, it governs different cases, and I won't go into all of that because that's really too complicated, but it can mean down, like downward, like a destruction, something is coming downward, and that's a vertical motion. But there's another case that it covers, which is what's here, that's horizontal. So in one hand it's going down, but in our instance here it's going lengthwise, it's going horizontally, and we know that those horizontal movements, you know, that has to do with humanity, that has to do with people, if I can say it like that. So this excellence way, the betterness of it, the more of it, is that it keeps going. It keeps going. And if you understand, I won't go into the whole thing, but it keeps going until it gets to its destination. The whole point of that motion is destination. It's going to arrive where it needs to go. Now, if you think about that, that just comes from a preposition, okay? But if you think about it, isn't that what the whole thing is? Now, you know, faith, hope, charity abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. They abide. It keeps going. I want to read to you, I read to you before, out of Phillips, who is a great Greek scholar. And the way he words this in his translation, the end, I'm reading the, I'm going to read 31 from 12 first, that says, you should set your hearts on the best spiritual gifts, but I'll show you a way which surpasses them all. See, that's what I mean by that surpassing. Now, when we get to the end of the chapter, when he's talking, he sums it up, and I'm going to read this again later because I love it. In this life, we have three lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. These are lasting qualities. We, as long as you and I are in this world, we need faith, we need hope, and we need the love of God. And that's a horizontal movement, and it'll keep going until it gets to its destination. You will continue to love somebody who's a sinner until they get born again. You'll continue to love people who abuse you until they have repented. Whatever it may be, these qualities will go forward horizontally until they meet their destination. And that's ongoing. Okay. So just that is kind of the context of Corinthians 13. It is a surpassing way, ongoing, horizontally, of a way better than just being zealous. Zealousness is good, but love surpasses that. Now, remember, last time we talked, you know, poor Peter, he loved, but he was limited in his love because he didn't have the love of God abiding in his heart. It was the day of Pentecost came. Salvation was available to us. We are born again of his spirit. So for us now, this is possible. And it is not that lower love of how we feel, but this is that love of principle or cause. What causes it? Corinthians 13. And I'm sure you've all read it. We can memorize it. But, you know, and so sometimes what I do is I'll read out of a different version, not because there's anything wrong with the other, but I can quote it by heart to the point that I don't even really think about the words that I'm saying. And I just turned to the wrong place. That's why for the longest time when I did this, my little time of working on it, I worked out of the Amplified. And I'll read that to us. And then I'm going to read us out of Phillips. If I speak with the tongues of men and of even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Now I'm going to have you revert to the first week we started this, when we talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, remember how we talked afterwards. These are Jesus' words, and he's saying there's no condemnation. There's no judgment in them. There's safety in them. He talked about what love does. Love wipes out condemnation, that judgment. And we've talked about how you can tell when people are struggling to not walk in love. Somebody who's very judgmental hasn't gotten there yet. They're struggling, or maybe they've been enslaved. I don't know. But again, think about, like, say, congregations where it's all about obeying the rules, and it's clanging brass. It's noise without substance. Because no matter how much you remember the Pharisees, they did all the right things, but because they had no heart for God, it was just so much clanging cymbals, okay, noisy gongs. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith that I can remove mountains. Now think about how many conferences they're based on. Ooh, come and get a word from God. Come and get. Now that can be in love. I'm not saying it can't be, but there are times that people's desire to have a word or a desire to give a word can surpass love. I know that God in the Midst has prophetic healing, and it's monthly. That is motivated out of love, because Apostle Kizzy and because of the elder that is on it, they love people. And so being motivated out of that love, then it is genuine. But sometimes people can get so caught up, you know, in it, and the lifting themselves up, that I can, you know, even have faith to remove mountains, but have not love of God. I am nothing, a useless nobody. I like Amphicus that phrase. I'm a useless nobody. Doesn't mean the prophecy isn't right. Doesn't mean the healing isn't true. Doesn't mean the faith isn't present. But the person operating it, if you're operating it out of ego or out of fear or out of whatever it may be, if love isn't the core of it, then you become a useless nobody. And that's when sometimes ministry can become frustrating, and when we want to be seen, etc. Okay, I don't want to go into all of that. Anyway, you understand, and you've heard this before. If I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and I even surrender my body to be when I give them the nth. There are people who give, and then they become frustrated if they're not acknowledged for their giving. Then there are people who are servants, and they'll work like themselves beyond what they should till they're exhausted, till they become sick, just because they feel an obligation. They feel that God doesn't count it, whether it be for their ego or out of fear or whatever it is. But if the love of God is not the core of the thing, the principle and the cause of it, then it profits you nothing. And then he goes on to talk about the things that we know love to be. Anyway, I decided that today, and we might read some of the other, but I just wanted to read it to us out of Phillips. I told you he's great, great Greek translation, and I just like hearing it because it just needs to remind us. So we're in the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament. If I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than blaring brass or crashing cymbals. But if I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I have no love, I amount to nothing at all. If I dispose of all that I have and possess, yes, even if I give my own body to be burned, but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. Ooh, I like that. This love of which I speak, now remember, we settled it with Peter, the difference between phileo and agape, that God was, that Jesus was urging him onto this higher love. And this is really what Corinthians 13 is about. Not that we don't love, but sometimes we just love in that lower level, and God is urging us to that higher level of love. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. Doesn't say it never does, but it's very slow to. I like this. It looks for a way to be constructive. It is so easy to say, well, that's the truth. But if it's destructive, it's not love. I can say, you know, somebody did something or the other, and that may be wrong and bad, but if what it does is make everybody look down on them or think badly of them, then there's no love in it. When they say, well, yeah, but it's true. Love looks for a way to be constructive. It is not possessive. Ooh, my word, my ministry, my calling, my finances, my tithe. If we truly know it came from God and I'm just giving back, but that thing of being possessive, it means it really is a sign, even psychologically, when people are overly concerned about getting their name on things, that they are insecure. When you know you've got all of God's love and all God's love in you, you're not parsing things out. You're not selfish. You can be generous. You can be generous in credit. You know, you give people their accolades. You can even let them think, you know, and see, even as I share these things, I feel my conscience prick me sometimes, you know, that, and I feel that, well, I'm not getting any sentence, I always say, that starts with after all. It means it's not good. If I say, well, after all, I gave the biggest portion of this. Well, after all, you know, he did this last week, so it should be my turn, or whatever it may be. After all, those are never good. Okay. Love of God is not possessive. It neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Now you understand why I love Phillips. Love has good manners. It does not pursue selfish advantage. I remember as a child, my mother, I don't know that children do that anymore, but we were taught good manners. And the point of good manners is to make others feel comfortable. It's not pushing yourself forward. We have come into a society that I just don't understand. We were taught you let your elders go first. You address people with respect, all those things. You didn't push your own, you know, going to the head of the line or getting my own share. If you looked when we were children, this seemed like just punishment. But if there were a plate of cookies and somebody offered you one, you didn't look for the biggest one and grab it for yourself. You took the one closest to you. You took the smaller one. You preferred others above yourself. And that's when you know, the Bible talks about in love preferring one another over oneself. That doesn't come easy. Naturally, by nature, we are selfish. And when we feel we have to look out for ourselves, then it becomes demonstrated. So when I see people doing that, I think they don't know how much God loves them. I don't have to push myself forward because God will do that if that's it. Maybe they need it. On the contrary, it does not pursue selfish advantage. I will refrain from any talking about anything political. It is not touchy. Oops, that may twinge me a bit. It's easy to be touchy when we are not full of the love of God, agape love. It does not keep account of evil. Well, this is what she did last week to me, or gloat over the wickedness of other people. Ooh. On the contrary, it shares the joy of those who live by truth. You have to be happy for other people, or you'll never be happy for yourself. Love knows no limits to its endurance, no end to its trust, no failing of its hope. It can outlast anything. Remember that, Katah, that going forward. Love never fails. And he goes on about some things that are important, but as I read this line before, and I'll read it to you again. I'll back up a little bit. At present, we are men looking at puzzling reflections in a mirror. Yes. The time will come when we will see reality whole and face to face. At present, all I know is a little fraction of the truth. See, people who are pompous, who believe they know it all, or at least they know more than anybody else, we all know in part, don't we? I only know a little fraction of the truth. but the time will come when I shall know it as fully as God has known me. And then he ends with this. In this life, we have three lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the surpassing way, the excellent way, is love. I don't need to prolong a whole lot today. We don't have to have a long program. I just wanted us to spend a little time. We talked last time about what agape love is, the love in right and principle, what is right, where the source of where our feelings come from. And I just thought I would read it today so that we would all just meditate on what the love of God looks like. Jesus encouraged Peter for it, but he couldn't tell him because Peter didn't have spiritual receptors yet. Jesus said, I go away that I may send the Comforter. And then the works I do, all of Jesus's works were works of love, were they not? Was there any time he did it for his own ego or for his own recognition? He even said, look, I can summon thousands of angels right now, but I won't do it. I'll suffer because of your sake, didn't he? So Jesus's works were out of love. And he said, the works I do, you'll do, and greater works, because I go to the Father. That love, we are his child. That means who he is, we are. God is love. Therefore, love isn't something I have. Love should be something I am. Maybe it's only down in my spirit, but it's there. And so he encourages us when in our book of reproof, reminding us what it looks like. Amen. And I'll read it one more time and then we'll close. The love of which I speak is slow to patience, to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It's not possessive. It's neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It's not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it shares the joy of those who live by the truth. Love knows no limits to endurance, no end to its trust, no failing in its hope. It can outlast anything. Love never fails. In this life, we have three lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love, the love of God. But the greatest of these is love, the excellent way. Today, we've just spent a little time reminding ourselves of what the excellent way looks like. God help us to live it. We are like those looking in a mirror, and it's kind of cloudy, it's fuzzy, it isn't clear. But we will see one day, and we will know as we are known, so therefore we will love as we are loved. But in the meantime, we have in our reproof the knowledge that when we stray from that, that's what we go back to. That's the benchmark. That's the ideal. That's what we aim for. We don't need to be better than anyone else. We need to be better than who we've been. That God will give us that grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we look into your word, it pricks our conscience, but it also excites us, because you wouldn't tell us to love like that if you didn't also make us capable of loving like that. Father God, this week, may we pursue that excellent way. May we pursue that better way. May we continue to endure and know that day by day you help us in this endeavor, because it's truly the mark of the better works, the works that you do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm so glad you were with us today. I'm encouraged. I hope you are. Looking forward to being with you next week, where we will round up our series on What Manner of Love. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone.